Guess who's back? Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Na 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 na. Where are my millennials at? Where are my millennials at? All my millennials, please stand up. I am so glad to be back with you for episode 2 of the Trademark Turn Up, where we discuss trademark issues through current events, pop culture happenings, and just in everyday life, and where entrepreneurs can tune in so that they can turn up or elevate their brands. My name is Carlene Jean-Louis. I'm a trademark attorney, founder of the KJL Law Firm PLLC, and your host of today's episode. So let's turn up. Y'all, I am so excited about today's episode. Today's episode definitely is an intersection of two things that I enjoy or find interesting, a little bit of reality TV as well as music. As I said, all my millennials stand up. If you didn't kind of get where this podcast was going today with the little intro, you'll find out soon. But before we jump in and before we turn all the way up, I do have to let you know that the information being provided in this podcast should not be construed as legal advice. It's only for educational and or informational purposes. And although I am a trademark attorney speaking on trademark issues, don't take this as legal advice. It's just informational. It's just educational. And if you want, you can take it as entertainment too as well. So let's turn up. So today we will be discussing The Real Housewives versus The Real Slim Shady. Yes, I'm Slim Shady. Yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up. Please tell me you were singing along with me, right? And laughing with me. No, listen, again, nostalgia, nostalgia, nostalgia. Definitely taking me back to my high school days. Today's podcast, this episode is entitled, Will the Real Shady Mark Please Stand Up? And again, it's The Real Housewives versus The Real Slim Shady. How did this battle that we probably never imagined, never thought I would be putting these two folks or groups, these two parties together in one podcast. But hey, here we are. It's 2023, y'all, and weirder things have happened. So as you may know or may not know, Ms. Gisele Bryant and Robin Dixon of the Real Housewives of the Potomac franchise of the Real Housewives brand have a podcast together. Now, all my OGs know that the Gisele and Robin were affectionately dubbed the Green-Eyed Bandits. But they've been thick as thieves and tight for the whole franchise. You know what I'm saying? And that has raised some issues this past season. But we're not going to get into all that. We're going to focus on the case at hand. And so Miss Bryant and Miss Dixon have a podcast that's called Reasonably Shady. And this podcast is on the Black Effect Network, which is a collaboration between Mr. Leonard as Miss Monique, not Monique Samuels, but Miss Monique, celebrated Black comedian, actress in the Black community, refers to him affectionately as well, or not so affectionately. But anyways, Leonard in the iHeartRadio have a collaboration, Black Effect Network, and the Reasonably Shady podcast is on said network. Now, the Reasonably Shady podcast has about 40,000 followers on Instagram, and Miss Dixon has approximately 500,000 followers on Instagram as of March 1st, 2023, and Miss Bryant has approximately 700,000 followers on Instagram as of March 1st, 2023. So you can say that the podcast is probably fairly known. Now, I don't follow the podcast. I'm not familiar with the podcast. I've heard of the podcast because of what I will term WanGate. If you know, you know. There's been a lot surrounding the podcast lately in Miss Dixon and Miss Bryant. So it may be fairly known. This podcast, my understanding, has been going on for some time, but as of February 1st, 2022, approximately around that time, Miss Giselle Bryant and Miss Robin Dixon filed an application with the USPTO, the United States Patent and Trademark Office, for the mark, proposed mark, Reasonably Shady. Both parties, both Miss Dixon and both Miss Bryant, claim to be owners of the mark, and they filed for registration of the mark with the USPTO in a number of classes. Based on intent to use, and if you're not sure of what intent to use is, please harken back or go back to episode one where we touched on that. They filed for eyeshadow, lip gloss, and makeup, and that's an international class 3. Now, when filing for a trademark with the USPTO, you are either filing for registration of a good and or service or multiple goods or services. And so you have to identify the class to which that good and or service belongs. And we all know that you have to pay a fee per class, right? And so the classes that are used by the USPTO are the NIST classifications, and they're referred to as international classifications. And so eyeshadow, lip gloss, and makeup is an international class 3. They also filed intent to use based on intent to use for candles, which is an international class 4. Mugs, water bottles sold empty, an international class 21. Hats, pants, shirts, socks, sweatshirts, and jackets, an international class 25. Paddle boards, an international class 28. I'm not sure how that works in here, but y'all who follow the podcast, you probably know. Let me know in the comments, please. And then also based on intent to use, he filed an international class 41 for entertainment services, namely an ongoing series featuring dating, relationships, marriage, entrepreneurs, motherhood, style, glam, and current events provided through television, webcasts, and radio broadcasts. So they probably have something cooking in the works for all you Reasonably Shady fans. Keep an eye out for that ongoing series, more like a show and not just a podcast. So keep your eyes out for that, all you Reasonably Shady fans. And also hosting social event, entertainment events, namely parties for others. So they also might be doing some club appearances, y'all. So if y'all want to see them in person, keep an eye out for that. That is speculative. I have not heard anything. I'm just saying based on the intent to use applications that may be in the future. Please don't quote me on that. And then based on actual use, they filed again an international class 41 for entertainment services, namely providing podcasts in the field of dating, relationships, marriage, entrepreneurs, motherhood, style, glam, and current events. And for the podcast and for the podcast service, they are asserting that they first used that mark, the Reasonably Shady mark, in association with podcasting in May of 2021, May 24th, 2021, to be more specific. All right. They first used it, and they first used it in commerce. Now, if you want to understand a little bit more about use in commerce, definitely take a listen to episode 1, where that distinction is explained a little bit. So the application is filed. It's moving through the application process, you know, fairly smoothly. If anything was issued by the examiner, they've been resolved to his or her liking. And now the application moves to the opposition process in around December of 2022. And so an opposition stage or proceeding of a trademark application with the USPTO is essentially that time period where the mark is publicized in the trademark's official weekly gazette, which comes out every Tuesday online, and it essentially is published in the gazette to put the public on notice that this mark is moving forward towards registration. It's not registered yet, but it's moving forward towards registration. If you believe that the registration of this mark may negatively impact your trademark rights or may negatively infringe on any other rights you may believe you have, that is recognized by the USPTO in an opposition proceeding, or the TTAB in an opposition proceeding, then as they say, you know, in wedding ceremony parlance, speak now or forever hold your peace. Not forever hold your peace, because there are other ways to kind of attack registrations post the registration post publication or after trademark is registered. But it's giving you opportunity. Let's just say this. It's giving you opportunity to say, hey, I believe that this mark may negatively infringe on my trademark rights, and I am going to oppose the application. Or, you know, you may go to the publication period, which is a period of 30 days, and nothing happens. And then you overcome that and you move forward through the process. Well, in the case of Miss Gisele Bryant and Miss Robin Dixon and the reasonably shady mark, Mr. Eminem, Marshall Mathers, files a notice of opposition with the TTAB on February 14th, 2023, essentially opposing the reasonably shady mark. And their notice of opposition, Mr. Mathers, Eminem's notice of opposition, that's his stage name, his real name is Marshall Mathers III. That notice of opposition was amended on February 21st, 2023. Child. So in his notice of opposition, Mr. Mathers kind of brought forth the following points. He said he's an internationally known entertainer, and he's known as Eminem, which you will probably hear me refer to him as Eminem. Again, I'm a millennial. A lot of my teenage years included music from Mr. Eminem, Slim Shady, his artist's alter ego persona, very familiar with that, and Shady, right? I sang that in the beginning. The song still registers with me. It's still in my consciousness. So a lot of people who grew up during that time period are very much familiar with Mr. Eminem, with Mr. Slim Shady, with Shady, who was the biggest rap star in the world for a period of time. And so he's saying that he has been using Slim Shady and Shady in connection with his stage identity and shade name Eminem, which I just said. I just said it. You know that we know that his alter ego. I'm even hearkening back now or thinking back to music videos where he demonstrated, you know, I'm Eminem, but this is Slim Shady. You know, so his alter ego, his persona, it's another part of his artist persona. He's saying that you know, for a long time, for 25 years, he's put extensive resources, financial and otherwise, into building this brand, building the name Shady, Slim Shady, since 1996. Make me feeling old, even though 96 I was in elementary school. But you know, he's been putting considerable resources, time and financial resources in promoting the name and generating goodwill. We discussed goodwill in episode one. That the mark is famous because he was very famous. He has registered Shady marks. He has registered the Shady mark, the Slim Shady mark, and the Shady Limited mark for clothing, including t-shirts, long sleeve t-shirts, short sleeve t-shirts, caps, hats, knit hats, and baseball caps, and used that in interstate commerce, which basically means just across state lines within the U.S. at least. He also goes in and he discusses, I'm just even going through my notes regarding the notice of opposition, that has registered the mark for Slim Shady in particular for entertainment services, namely the presentation of live musical performances by recording artists and sound recordings. And so that's International Class 41 and 9. So you heard me say the classes that Reasonably Shady was filing for as well. And then for clothing, which is International Class 25, the clothing items I just listed. And he also owns a registration for the Mark Shady itself in Class 25. Now, all four of Mr. Mathers / Eminem / Slim Shady / the real Slim Shady, all four of his registrations have achieved incontestable status under Section 15 of the Lanham Act, which is just the statute that governs trademarks. And so when you can demonstrate continuous exclusive use of your trademark for 5 years, that mark, you can file for incontestability. And so that essentially gives you, like, I don't know if you had, if you've ever used Duolingo and Super Duolingo. When you do the Super Duolingo, the little owl, it says an owl, but it looked like a cat. The little owl turns, like, you know, becomes a super owl or whatever and spins and has all these superpowers and rights. Just think of it as like a supercharge to your trademark rights. It provides presumptive ownership. It's conclusive evidence of the validity of your registered mark and its registration. And it gives you the exclusive right to use that registered mark in commerce. So he has incontestability status for all of his marks because he has maintained his trademark rights by renewing his registration at the time periods required by statute and proving continuous use. So he's also saying that because he's promoted and used his mark over the last 25 years, his mark is famous. It's well known. And therefore, the allowing Miss Dixon and Mr. Bryant, and Miss Bryant, excuse me, sorry, Miss Dixon and Miss Bryant to use their mark would water down or dilute his trademark rights. And so he also argues the dominant portion of the reasonably shady mark is the word shady. And so there will be a likelihood of confusion to consumers if the reasonably shady mark is allowed to move forward to registration. All right. So he filed this on November through counsel on November on February 21st, 2023. The amended notice, the original notice of opposition, was filed on February 14th, 2023. And counsel, because they're represented by counsel, counsel for Ms. Giselle Bryant and Robin Dixon, they have until March 27th, 2023 to respond. And then if it moves forward to trial, there are a number of dates in between then. But that's where they are at this point. And so the application was filed. It was moving down the application process at the USPTO, but a notice of opposition was filed. And therefore, that notice of opposition is going to be heard at the Trademark Trial and Appeal Board. And so the TTAB will hear the case, make a decision, and that will impact the registration. So this is an interesting case. Looking forward to watching it and keeping an eye on it. Some things that will or may very well impact the outcome of this case are the marks confusingly similar? And when you think of that, he was essentially alluding to that likelihood of confusion. So one of the number one reasons why marks are refused at the USPTO is for likelihood of confusion, which is saying that either the marks are similar or are too similar or too related and they will confuse consumers, or the goods and services are too similar and too related and the marks are too similar and too related, and that will cause confusion to the consumer. And so what Mr. Mathers is asserting through counsel is that reasonably shady is too close to shady, Slim Shady, and Shady Unlimited. And some of the classes for which the Reasonably Shady podcast or Reasonably Shady mark was filed as regards Ms. Bryant and Ms. Dixon are too similar or close to some of the classes that Mr. Mathers already has these trademark rights in, correct? Understood. So he's saying the names are too similar, the goods and or services are too similar, and therefore consumers will be confused as to the source of these goods, and that will cause harm to Mr. Mathers' brand. Now, when looking at a likelihood of confusion issue, typically when looking at the brand name or the mark in question, the courts will kind of determine whether or not the brands are similar in sound, if they look alike, or their overall, what they refer to as overall commercial impression. And so I understand Mr. Mathers' argument that the shady portion of the mark is the dominant portion of the mark. However, we're living in a different time and age than when the Shady, Shady Limited, and Slim Shady marks came out. And shade means a whole different thing right now. particularly as relates to reality TV and Black culture, if I'm honest. Shade is someone kind of, I don't even know how to describe it now, because the word shade or shady has become so ingrained in our culture. The largest Black social media platform, at least as relates to Instagram, is called the Shade Room. Shade is when you're kind of throwing, I don't want to say dirt, but you kind of coming for someone a little bit. And unfortunately, I can't even articulate a definition for the word. But, you know, just like tea. Tea used to just be a drink that you drink, but now tea is known as hot gossip, particularly in Black culture. So we're living in a different age. We're living in a different time. And I think of the overall commercial impression of reasonably shady, I don't think that, for me personally, it never came to mind. I would not associate that with the International Recording Grammy Award winning artist Slim Shady. And Mr. Shady is famous. He just performed at the 2022, I believe, Super Bowl halftime show. So he's still famous, but he has fallen a little back a little bit in our consciousness. I'm going to keep it a buck. I don't even know. Does Gen Z know Eminem? Let me know in the comments if Gen Z knows Eminem. No shade. You see, no shade to Mr. Mathers, because like I just sang a couple of the lyrics to his songs. Didn't take me a long time to remember. Like I still remember. Again, I'm a millennial. That was part of my growing up. But I'm not sure if this generation is that all familiar with Mr. Shady, at least in the U.S. And we're talking about U.S. trademark rights. But we know what it means to catch shade. We know what it means to be shady. We know what it means to sip tea. We know what it means to spill the tea. And so for me personally, from my perspective, you may differ. This is a personal opinion. I think that reasonably shady has a different connotation, commercial impression. Some of you might say, well, the goods and services aren't related. Child, some of the things you would find or think are not related, GTAB and the USPTO has been able to make a connection. So it doesn't, from my perspective, not all the time. In this case, it may be different. The nexus doesn't have to be as close as you may think. However, comma, would I think that Mr. Marshall Mathers at this point, who at the height of his notoriety and his fame, decided to step back and focus on raising his child, who I heard has recently become engaged, allegedly. Congrats to her. Allegedly. is starting a podcast? Is doing hosting club appearances? I don't think Eminem's tape for money. However, again, this is analysis based on trademark law. So we'll be following and we will be keeping you updated. Another issue that counsel for Mr. Mathers raised in the opposition brief is that, or the notice of opposition, is that the shady mark, he raised a dilution claim. Now, dilution by blurring, he's essentially saying that the mark is too close. There's a blurring of the lines and use of the reasonably shady mark will water down or dilute the Shady, Shady Limited, and Slim Shady brands. Now, for dilution cases, certain brands are so big, like McDonald's, I could come out with flip-flops tomorrow with the Golden Arches, and McDonald's could block that because that brand is so big, so ubiquitous, has its hand in so many things that appropriating elements of that mark or that mark and it's going to get shot down for the most part. So like super brands like that, definitely if they bring a dilution claim, they're going to have the receipts. They're going to be able to show the numbers and make a case for why you can basically virtually cannot use anything close or similar to that brand name as a trademark. Just they're just big, strong, have a lot of registered marks and just it is what it is. So he's saying their use of reasonably shady will water down his trademark rights. And so they should not be allowed to use it on that basis as well. Now, another issue, which will be interesting to see how the TTAB addresses it or to see how counsel for the applicants, Ms. Dixon and Ms. Bryant, respond to the notice of opposition is, has the opposer, has Mr. Marshall Mathers sufficiently policed and or enforced his rights? And I touched upon policing and enforcing trademark rights in episode one as well. Just because you have a federally registered trademark does not mean the journey ends. You have to renew registrations. You have to do your renewal filings, as Mr. Mathers has, but you also have to police and enforce your trademark rights. And so Mr. Mathers, if you look at the record for his registrations for Slim Shady, Shady Unlimited, and Shady, he has filed, it appears from my review, I could be incorrect, that a number of cancellation proceedings, opposition proceedings, like someone tried to file a mark for Slim Shady Politics or and Shady Character, and he did not let that fly. So there has been enforcement. But if you go to the USPTO and just type in Shady, there are 450 live and dead Shady related happenings at the USPTO, and approximately 180 live applications at the USPTO. And some of them have registration, some of them are pending. So is it a crowded field? And if so, that would mean that the Shady, Shady Limited, and Slim Shady marks would be entitled to a narrow scope of protection, and possibly that the Reasonably Shady podcast should be provided federal trademark rights and federal trademark registration because of that. So it'll be interesting to watch. I am definitely going to stay tuned, and I will let y'all know how that goes. We'll definitely be discussing this in a later episode. Thank you so much for joining. Let me know your thoughts. Do you think that Reasonably Shady and Slim Shady, Shady and Shady Unlimited, those are similarly confusing, or they're too close for comfort? Do you have any other thoughts? Let me know in the comments. I look forward to reading your comments. If you want to know more about what's happening in pop culture and current events through a trademark lens, please follow at KJL Law Firm on socials. If you're interested in more information regarding trademarks, go ahead and visit www.kjllawfirm.com. And I will see you in the next episode. Don't forget to turn up. Take care.